Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance. Minutes away, worlds apart. Visit the Boston Harbor Islands National Park area and enjoy more than 150 free programs and activities all summer. Come on out to the islands and explore. Go to bostonharborislands.org for more information. By the Brookline Bird Club, the largest bird club in Massachusetts, with membership open to all who are interested in birds and nature. The club sponsors year-round field trips covering the entire state, with walks every day during peak spring migration. BrooklineBirdClub.org.
I love that show.
Good morning. Welcome to our show number 482. I know that might sound like a horse, but it's actually a bird. The largest bird in North America, the California condor. And with some hopeful news about that bird, our friends Paul Basich and Wayne Peterson from the Birding Community eBulletin tell us that wildlife conservation organizations and public land management agencies have excitedly and optimistically reported that a California condor has apparently hatched in the wild in the state of Utah. That's a first for Utah since an experimental population of condors was released in Vermilion Cliffs National Monument in northern Arizona in 1996. So earlier this year, the birds displayed behavior suggesting they were incubating an egg, and they now exhibit signs that they are tending a chick. Lead poisoning, by the way, is the most significant obstacle to successful condor recovery in Arizona and Utah. That's because condors will ingest lead when feeding on the remains of animals shot with lead-based ammunition. Utah and Arizona say they're both working with hunters to reduce condor exposure to lead ammunition.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Hey, we thought you'd like to know what's on our Talking Birds Facebook page this week. Lots of good stuff, photos included. For example, Diana Beltran Herrera's incredibly beautiful and shockingly realistic paper bird sculptures. You really have to see them to believe them. We seem to keep finding new ways to kill birds. The latest, thermal solar power. Did you know that some birds are poisonous? Meet the hooded pitohui. Knock, knock, in Cornwall, England, village gulls are pecking at kitchen windows, insisting the food inside be shared with them. And ancient birds as big as airplanes. You can read about all of those stories this week there on our Talking Birds Facebook page, pictures and graphics included. Hey, happy birthday to our friend Bill Hutchinson in nearby Duxbury, Massachusetts. Happy birthday, Hutch, from all your friends here at Talking Birds. All right, hit the theme, boys. Little Canadian Sunset, played there by the great saxophonist Illinois Jacquette. Now we're reaching out to some of our Canadian friends with this question. What do the following have in common? Newfoundland and Labrador, Prince Edward Island, Nova Scotia, and Saskatchewan. The answer is, they are the only Canadian provinces that we haven't heard from here at Talking Birds. We're happy to say that we've had contact from listeners in British Columbia, Alberta, Manitoba, Ontario, and Quebec. And as of last week, New Brunswick, when Alan from Taylor Village in that Canadian province called in and won our Mystery Bird Contest. Congratulations again, Alan. Well, as we did for our last few U.S. states to be heard from a while back, we're offering a reward to folks in the provinces of Newfoundland and Labrador, that's one province, Prince Edward Island, Nova Scotia, and Saskatchewan. If you're listening to Talking Birds in one of those provinces, please let us know. By email to ray@talkingbirds.com. By phone here on the show, that's 781-837-4900. Or on Facebook or Twitter at Talkin' Birds. And we will reward you for that contact with a beautiful item from our Talkin' Birds prize closet. And we have lots of good stuff in there. So are you listening? Newfoundland and Labrador, Prince Edward Island, Nova Scotia, and Saskatchewan. Please let us know. We're waiting to hear from you. And speaking of Canada, let's go up there to Alberta and check in with our friend Charlotte.
Alberta bound, Alberta bound. It's good to be Alberta bound.
Here comes this morning's segment of Charlotte's Web Blog with Charlotte Wesselick. Good morning, Charlotte. What's the latest?
Good morning, Ray. On my blog this week, I wrote a post about ethics of birding when you find a nest or want to photograph it. In the post, I included a few photos that I found around our farm on the Canadian prairies this summer, including Brewer's Blackbird, Sora, and American Robin. You can find my blog post at prairiebirder.wordpress.com. A few weeks ago, the American Birding Association started offering the federal duck stamp through its online store. If you purchase the duck stamp through the ABA store, you're making a statement as a birder and naturalist that you support bird and habitat conservation in the U.S. National Wildlife Refuges. To purchase your stamp, visit the ABA shop at shop.aba.org. For young birders, as of this week, there are still two spaces left at Camp Avocet, which runs from August 11th to 17th. Camp Avocet, which will be held at Cape Henlopen State Park in Delaware, where young birders will have the chance to see Pythonotary and worm-eating warblers, red-headed woodpeckers, black-necked stilts, semi-palmated western and least sandpipers, and American avocets. To find out more about this fun camp for this year and for next, just Google Camp Avocet. I can't recommend camps for young birders highly enough. That's everything for this week, Ray. I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Charlotte. Check out Charlotte's blog online. That's prairiebirder.wordpress.com. And by the way, are you a young birder, or do you have a young birder in your family or among your circle of friends? Please let us know. Let us know what you're up to. We love to hear from young birders here on the show. Well, it's popular these days to say that our government can't do anything right, an attitude that has led folks to say things like, "Get your government hands off my Medicare." Well, Tom Keene, writing in the Boston Globe this week, has pointed out the government can actually do some pretty good stuff, including in the environmental area, like creating the Clean Air Act to protect the public from hazardous airborne contaminants, the Clean Water Act, which has gone a long way toward restoring the health of our waters and wetlands, and the Endangered Species Act, which has brought many birds and mammals and other life forms back from the brink of extinction. So those are some of the things that our government has done to help clean up our act with respect to the natural world and its inhabitants. And guess who else is getting into the act? Well, the answer to that leads us to today's conservation quote of the week. Here's the quote. "When I look at America, also my own homeland, that would be Argentina, so many forests all cut have become land that can no longer give life. This is our sin, exploiting the earth and not allowing her to give us what she has within her." It's a quote from Pope Francis. Well, this new pope has repeatedly called for environmental protection action since he was elected last year, and he's currently writing an encyclical, a papal letter sent to bishops around the world about man's relationship with nature. Meanwhile, the latest United Nations science report says that deforestation is responsible for about 10% of the greenhouse gas emissions caused by humans, and that in the Pope's home country of Argentina, about 39.5 million acres of the forest cover was lost between 1980 and 2000. And this is pretty stunning, representatives of all the major religions around the world have announced that they will mobilize on climate action ahead of a landmark summit to be held at UN headquarters in New York this September. Holy smoke. Still to come on our show today, we'll welcome a special guest who, along with some fellow dedicated birders, has created the first bird club in his state, at least in a while. I was pretty surprised to hear that, and I think you might be too when you hear which state it is. Also this morning, our man Mike O'Connor from Cape Cod's Birdwatchers General Store will be here with us to help a Talkin' Birds listener in Chicago figure out how to get birds to come up to his apartment. As always, we'll give away a fabulous feeder in our Droll Yankees Mystery Bird Contest. And up next, if you're not familiar with the bird we're about to meet, you might think it's just a product of our overactive imaginations. But no, it's really real, and it's today's Talkin' Birds featured feathered friend. Is there really a duck with a black belly, a reddish pink bill, and hot pink legs? And that instead of a quack, sounds off with a whistle? Why, yes. Yes, there is. And it's known by the descriptive moniker black-bellied whistling duck. Guess they didn't have room to get pink into the name. This bird, usually seen and sometimes in pretty big numbers in Louisiana and Texas, has been spotted this summer in central Massachusetts, up in New Brunswick, Canada, and at several locations in North Carolina. When it shows up somewhere, it doesn't go unnoticed, thanks to the attributes just listed. And then there's that whistle. Black-bellied whistling ducks consume a wide variety of plant material, but also feed on insects when available. And as its Latin name, autumnalis, suggests, it's often seen gleaning recently harvested fields for leftover seeds and invertebrates. In Mexico, thanks to that behavior, the black-bellied whistling duck is known as pato maizal, or cornfield duck, and it's even been observed opening fresh husks of corn and feeding on the kernels inside. The black-bellied whistling duck is unique among ducks in that pairs often stay together for many years, with both parents sharing all the work of raising the young. The bird is primarily a cavity nester, preferring the confines of a hollow tree, but also nesting on the ground when necessary. They also use chimneys, abandoned buildings, and nest boxes. Black-bellied whistling duck nestlings are precocious. They can feed themselves right after hatching, and they leap from their nest cavities a couple of days later. A bird described by one early American ornithologist as most unduck-like, the black-bellied whistling duck is doing well, with its numbers increasing in North America. It's not migrating, it just seems to be expanding its range northward. Just ask the folks in North Carolina and Massachusetts and New Brunswick, Canada. The black-bellied whistling duck, Dendrocygna autumnalis. Today's Talkin' Birds featured feathered friend. Thanks again for being with us. Our show number 482. We hope you'll visit our Facebook page and Twitter and Instagram at Talkin' Birds. We're about to welcome a special guest on the phone. He's Michael Gao, treasurer, website and social media manager as well for the new Ocean State Bird Club. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Ray.
Great to have you on here. Is it really the first bird club in Rhode Island?
Well, it's currently the only bird club in Rhode Island that we are certainly aware of. There was, in the past, there was another bird club apparently that was around, and people still remember it. I believe it was the Rhode Island Ornithological Society. Mm-hmm. It's no longer in existence, so we're the only one currently.
All right. I like the Ocean State Bird Club name a lot better, too.
Yes.
Tell us how it came about. How did the idea come about to put this club together?
Well, I think it speaks volumes to the importance of social media these days and really the bird community. Rhode Island, really, you know, there's such good birders in New England, and Rhode Island is certainly no exception. And people get together on RI Birds, and what happens is people post things and post sightings, just like in Mass Bird and so on. And there was a posting at one point by Jana Hesser, who's our current president, and she and this socialite who's a fantastic birder. His name is Jack. And Jack and Jana got together and said, you know what, let's form a bird club. And so they posted it on RI Birds, and Jack Sullivan and Jana started this whole idea, and eventually Sue Dunn got involved with it. And eventually what we did is we gathered at different restaurants across the state, and we bounced around this idea, and I was lucky enough to find that posting. And from there, it just kind of blossomed over the last year.
Nice.
And currently we're the only one.
And you're partnering with the Audubon Society there in Rhode Island, too.
Yes,
right?
What a great... Mm-hmm. Great organization, and they've been truly supportive. We've had several meetings in their facilities. We've had some of their leadership attend our meetings. Candy Powell, who's the president of the board of directors, she's currently on our board as well, and so she's been a key contact for us.
Tell us about your other team members here, Michael.
Yeah, we have a fantastic birder, and he's kind of well-known around the state, Dan Berard. He's our current vice president, and he's our events coordinator. Marge Bradley, who's our secretary, myself as treasurer, board of directors, Jack Sullivan, Sue Dunn, Candy Powell, Suzanne French, and Roseanne Sherry, who happens to be a master gardener, along with Sue Dunn, so that's a nice connection as well. Suzanne French is over in Warwick, and she runs the Wild Birds Unlimited there, so it's another nice connection as well.
Give us a quick update on some upcoming events, Mike.
Well, we've got some updates coming up in July. We've got two events coming up. One happens to be partnering up with Norman Bird Sanctuary, using their facility and doing a birds and butterfly walk. And then we also have another walk coming up towards the end of July, and that walk is at one of the good places that are out there, and that's Napa Tree Point in Westerly, mm-hmm. and that's on the 17th.
17th of...
July.
All right. All right. And so folks can find you. Michael, give us that website again in connection.
Yeah, it's the OceanStateBirdClub.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, but it's usually our website that has, you know, all the updated information.
OceanStateBirdClub.org. All right. Michael Gow, treasurer and website and social media manager of the new Ocean State Bird Club. Michael, thank you so much and good luck with the club.
Thank you so much, Ray. Really appreciate it.
And keep in touch.
You got it.
Coming up next here, it's our Mystery Bird Contest in just 1 minute.
Here's Tracy Rayburg from the Wild Bird Center in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, talking about her experience as a Wild Bird Center store owner.
It's always enjoyable to help a customer select a quality seed to select that first bird feeder or to help resolve squirrel problems they may be having. The Wild Bird Centers, my experience with them has been phenomenal. From the first time I went to visit them on Discovery Day through my day-to-day activities here, they're always there when you need them. They provide an incredible network of infrastructure and support when a business owner needs it. But at the same time, they let me run my business the way that I need to, the way that I see fit. And they're just a really professional, amazing group, and I'm very happy to be in business with them.
Could owning a Wild Bird Center store be right for you? Find out why it might be on their website, wildbird.com. That's wildbird.com.
Talking Birds is also made possible by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, a world leader in the study, appreciation, and conservation of birds. Please check them out at birds.cornell.edu. That's birds.cornell.edu. Every week we present the Mystery Bird Contest, in which we describe a bird, give some clues, and play the song or call of that bird, and invite you to call in and tell us what it is to win a beautiful Droll Yankees feeder. You're eligible if you haven't been a winner here on Talkin' Birds in this year of 2014. And if you wanted to get some hummingbirds in your yard, this could be your chance. Our prize today is the Droll Yankees Little Flyer 4 Hummingbird Feeder, featuring a leak-proof design, 4 hummingbird ports, and a beautiful and dependably durable brass rod. That is our prize here from Droll Yankees. And here's the sound of our mystery bird. Beautiful to listen to, whether you know what it is or not. And if you do know, by all means, give us a call as quickly as you can. Otherwise, take a guess, because no correct answer means a drawing will determine our winner. 781-837-4900 is the number. That's 781-837-4900. Our mystery bird is olive to reddish brown on the head and back, with a rusty tail and pale underparts with dark spots on the throat, fading spots on the breast. Mystery bird isn't especially solitary, although its name might make you think that it is. That's a pretty good clue, I think, too. What do you think it is? That's our mystery bird. Take a guess at 781-837-4900 or tell us definitively what that bird is and win that beautiful hummingbird feeder from Droll Yankees. 781-837-4900. Meanwhile, we're going to check in with Mike O'Connor with some help for a listener in Chicago. It's Let's Ask Mike in just 1 minute.
Feeding Wild Birds brings the sights and sounds of nature's beauty to your backyard. There's no better way to enjoy those serenading calls and brilliant colors than by filling your feeders with Lyric Wild Bird Food. Lyric supplies the finest all-natural nutrition for songbirds. You'll see the difference in Lyric. There are no cheap fillers or artificial ingredients, only the finest nutrients like sunflower kernels, peanuts, pecans, and raisins. Lyric's signature mix, Supreme, contains a dozen different ingredients and is guaranteed to attract the widest variety of birds. The no-waste, nut-filled delight mix is 100% edible and ideal for decks, porches, and patios. Lyric Fruit and Nut will draw traditional visitors and attract fruit eaters like robins and grosbeaks. Consumers have been trusting Lyric for over 70 years. Pick up some Lyric Wild Bird Food today. Lyric can be found at independent retailers. Check lyricbirdfood.com for a dealer near you. Lyric Wild Bird Food, the finest nutrients. See the difference.
Hey, it's time for Let's Ask Mike with Mike O'Connor from Cape Cod's famous Birdwatchers General Store in Orleans. And Mike doesn't like to be kept waiting, so let's get to it. Good morning, Mike.
Time is money, Ray. I got a lot of people waiting today.
All right, you have a listener here from Chicago.
Oh, my God, the Windy City.
Yes, indeed. That toddling town. He says, hey, hi, Ray. Love your show. I'm a relatively new birder and have been enjoying going on bird walks here in Chicago with groups and on my own. I have perhaps a strange question. My wife and I live in an apartment building. Is there any way to put up a feeder in such a situation to attract birds? We're on the third floor. Thanks, says Adam Spencer in Chicago. An addendum. He says, will our cat scare off birds coming to any feeder?
How about that?
Yeah. If they're outside, they will.
I assume the cat's inside, so probably not a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, you can always close the curtains if they are. I mean, cats, you know, leap at the glass. I get a lot of customers who have indoor cats, bless their hearts, who don't let their cats outside, and they find the cats are entertained, and the birds figure it out pretty quickly. So that shouldn't be a problem.
You know, there's a book called Bird Watching for Cats?
Yeah, I don't sell that.
Talks all about that, Stephanie.
Yeah.
How you can do that for best advantage.
I try to avoid the C word in this place as much as possible.
All right, but the other question?
So we should, yeah, okay. Here you go, Adam. If there is, I don't know if you have a balcony, then you can certainly put a bird feeder out there. If you don't have a balcony but have some access, you could do suction cup feeders. There's a lot of weird feeders that work on suction cups. You could stick to glass. So if you don't have a balcony, you can just stick them to a window and then kind of put your hand out the window to fill it and to maintain it. Those work fine. Or you could get a little bracket like a plant hanger. If you have some access, and hang that in front of your window, and then, again, bring the feeder in and out. I would use sunflower seeds without the shells. You can get all kinds of seed, but don't use a mixer because you'll end up with pigeons on the ground underneath where all the stuff gets dropped. So I would use sunflower seeds without the shells. And there's no reason why you can't get birds. Third floor makes no difference to birds because, you know, birds fly, so height isn't an issue. I used to have one of my best customers lived on Roosevelt Island in Manhattan. And she lived on the craziest 50th floor or something. The birds would be up there all the time.
Wow, 50th floor. So third floor, a piece of cake.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's nothing. Yeah, you probably will get, maybe you'll get some house finches. Maybe you'll get some sparrows, probably. Chicago, you might get a few Blackhawks. You never know. Nobody else will get that. But Chicago people are laughing and laughing. So absolutely. Don't be afraid to put whatever you need to attach a feeder, either with suction cups or a bracket, will work. I would use sunflowers without the shells. That way the neighbors won't have a mess to deal with. And I bet you get some stuff.
All right. And as always, Adam, let us know how it works out. And Mike, talk to you next week.
I'll be here, man.
All right.
Thanks.
Send your question in to Mike. Not only is it free to get your question answered, but we sort of pay you for sending in a question. It's a pretty good deal. We pay you in the form of a signed copy of Mike's great new book, Why do bluebirds hate me? All kinds of answers to your bird feeding and attracting questions. Send your question via email to ray@talkingbirds.com, or you can do it on Facebook or Twitter if you prefer. Email address again, ray@talkingbirds.com. Back to the Mystery Bird Contest. Here's the sound, the beautiful sound of our mystery bird. Our bird is olive to reddish brown on the head and back, with a rusty tail and pale underparts, with dark spots on the throat and fading spots on the breast. Our bird isn't especially solitary, but its name would make you think it is. It's kind of a big hint, clue. 781-837-4900 is the number to call. And we have Dave in Halifax. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Is that Halifax, Mass, or Halifax,
Halifax,
Nova Scotia?
Massachusetts. It's the center of Plymouth County.
All right. Well, we're looking to hear from folks from Halifax, Nova Scotia, or anywhere in Nova Scotia, although we're happy to hear from you, Dave.
Yes.
You know, is that like a sister city or anything to Halifax?
I don't know what it's, if it has, you know, somebody, another town that's related to it, no.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that, Dave. Let's go on to the Mystery Bird Contest. What do you say it is, Dave?
Well, based on the little bit of the tune, and I listen to you all the time, and sometimes I can't get access to a phone, but this morning I do. the word solitary brought to mind hermit thrush.
And that would be your answer.
Exactly.
And exactly correct, yes. Hermit thrush, beautiful sounding bird, and certainly a beautiful bird to look at. So you did a good job with those clues there, Dave.
Well, you did. You helped me. Thank you.
Hey, that's what we're here for. What kind of birding do you do around Halifax and here on the South Shore?
I've been feeding birds for most of my life. Mm-hmm. My mother gave me the lesson early, and so I provide food for them. Birdhouses, baths—they're treated better than most humans. Yes.
So you probably have a pretty good selection of birds visiting you there.
Yes, a good variety, and also we live in the woods here in Halifax, so mm-hmm. we've got nature's right here.
Very nice, Dave. Thank you. Congratulations. Stay on the line. We'll get your address, and we'll send you a beautiful hummingbird feeder from Droll Yankees.
And thank you very much, and enjoy this beautiful summer day.
It is beautiful. Thank you, Dave.
All right,
Dave in Halifax, Massachusetts. We mentioned Halifax, Nova Scotia, because earlier in the program, listen back to the beginning of our show if you get a chance, we're reaching out to folks in four Canadian provinces that we haven't heard from. We've heard from folks in six of the Canadian provinces. We haven't heard from Nova Scotia. We haven't heard from British Columbia. Oh, sorry, I take that back. We have heard from British Columbia. The ones we haven't heard from are Newfoundland and Labrador. Newfoundland and Labrador, that's one province. Prince Edward Island, Saskatchewan, in Nova Scotia. If you're in one of those provinces, we'd love to hear from you, and we're going to reward you for that contact with a beautiful item from our Talking Birds prize closet. So let us know. Send us an email to ray@talkingbirds.com. Give us a call anytime here on the show at 781-837-4900, or visit us on Facebook or Twitter at Talking Birds. And speaking of calling, Dave, call us back. I guess we lost Dave off the line. Call us back, Dave, so we can send you that beautiful prize from Droll Yankees. If you want to get adventurous out there and you're somewhere in Rhode Island, in Massachusetts, Tim Factor in Boston says a South Polar Skua spotted on the New England Aquarium Whale Watch boat. And Tim says, drop whatever plans you have and get out there on a whale watch. Good advice. We are out of time for the show this morning. Thank you so much for being with us, and please join us here next week. The executive producer of Talking Birds is Mark Duffield. Our engineer is Jesse Wilkins. I'm Ray Brown. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday morning.
Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible through the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. And by Blackstones of Beacon Hill in Boston. providing unique gifts and accessories for area residents and visitors for over 20 years. BlackstonesBeaconHill.com.
The wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of thy wings, singing bogey.